Chapter 33. Murphy looked at the rolls and said, "You're kidding." We'd driven down to the sacks separately, and she hadn't seen the wheels I was using. I was parked closer to the hotel, so we were about to get into the Silver Wraith together. "It's a loner," I said. "Get in." "I am not a material girl," she said, running a hand over the Rolls' fender, "but damn." "Can we focus here?" I said. "The world's coming to an end." Murphy shook her head and then got in the car with me. "Well, at least you're going out in style." I got the Rolls moving. It got plenty of looks, even in the dead of night, and the other motorists out so late gave it a generous amount of room, as if intimidated by the Wraith's sheer artistry. "Actually," I said, "I'm kind of finding the Rolls to be irrationally comforting." Murphy glanced aside at me. "Why's that?" "I know how I'm going to die, you know? One of these days, maybe real soon, I'm going to find out I've bitten off more than I can chew." I swallowed. "I mean, I just can't keep from sticking my nose in places people don't want it. And I always figured it would be the council who punched my ticket, regardless of who believed what about me, because there's a bunch of assholes there, and I just can't let them wallow in their own bull and pretend it's an air of nobility." Murphy's expression became more sober. She listened in silence. "Now the council's coming, and they've got good reason to take me out. Or it looks like it to them, which is the same thing." I swallowed again. My mouth felt dry. "But I somehow just have the feeling that when I go out, it isn't going to be in style." I gestured at the Rolls with a vague sweep of one hand. "This just isn't the car I drive to my death, you know?" Murph's mouth tucked up at one corner, though most of the smile was in her eyes. She took my hand between hers and held it. Her hands felt very warm. Maybe mine were just cold. "You're right, of course, Harry." "You think?" "Definitely," she said. "This car just isn't you. You'll die in some badly painted, hideously recycled piece of junk that seems to keep on running despite the laws of physics that say it should be melted scrap by now." "Phew," I said. "I thought I might be the only one who thought that." Her fingers tightened on mine for a moment, and I clung back. The council was coming. And there wasn't anything I could do to fight them. Oh, sure, maybe I could poke someone in the nose and run, but they would catch up to me sooner or later. There would be more of them than me, some of them every bit as strong as I was, and all of them dangerous. It might take a day, or a week, or a couple of weeks, but I had to sleep sooner or later. They'd wear me down. And that pissed me off. My sheer helplessness in the face of this whole stupid mess was infuriating. It wasn't as if I didn't have options. Mab still held a job offer open to me, for example. And it was more than possible that Lara Wraith might have the resources to shield me or broker me a better deal than the council was going to offer. When I thought of how unfair the whole thing was, I had more than a passing desire to grab whatever slender threads I could reach until I could sort things out later. Put that way, it almost sounded reasonable, noble even. I would, after all, be protecting other wrongly persecuted victims of the council who littered the theoretical landscape of the future. It didn't sound nearly so much like entering bargains that went against everything I believed so that I could forcibly impose my will over those who were against me. I knew the truth, but just because it was true didn't make it any less tempting. What the hell was I going to do? I had a hidey hole planned out, but it had already been compromised. There was nowhere even a little bit safe I could take Morgan but my apartment, and the wardens were going to find him there. And on top of all that, I still had no freaking clue as to the identity of our mysterious puppet master. Maybe it was time to admit it. This one was too big for me. It had been from the very start. "Murph," I said quietly, "I don't know how I'm going to get out of this." Silence filled the beautiful old car. "When's the last time you slept?" Murphy asked. I had to take my hand back from hers to shift gears. I gestured at my bandaged head. "I can barely remember what day of the week it is. This morning, a couple of hours, I think." she nodded judiciously. You know what your problem is. I eyed her and then started laughing, or at least making an amused wheezing sound. I couldn't help it. Problem, singular, I choked out finally. No, what?